Moi, and welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rory, and I'm not doing too bad today. It's the weekend, so I'm kind of just relaxing, and it's nice and cloudy outside, so it's not like I'm missing anything by staying inside all the time now. And of course, obviously, with the lockdown starting to ease again, so fingers crossed we can get back to some kind of normality sometime soon anyway. And joining me?
Jazzy, It looks really nice out there, but I've been out there and it's actually very warm. So
don't deal well with the heat.
No. You know what? I'm probably pretty grateful for that because it needed to get a bit cooler anyway.
Hi, it's Rosie and I am dealing with a case of southitis right now where it's just really warm and I am lying in a starfish position on my bed right now. On my back and just feeling.
This is what you get for living in the south.
I know. I mean, it's either the heat or this is that Eurovision podcast after dark.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's up to you to decide, listener.
Oh, God. Boy, it's Tim here. It's very hot. And all I'm going to say right now is I've got my portable aircon and I am hot and just like sweating. And I'm like, nope, I'm not dealing with this today. So
the perks of living in the north. It's not very hot here.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, given our topic today, I'm pretty sure that we'd all love to be off in this lovely country so we can all kind of cool off and just feel that, you know, coldness just sweep over us. And so in this episode we're going to be talking about Finland, which is Jazzy's stan country. So
yay! Finally.
After all these weeks,
I've done my waiting. 30 episodes of it.
I don't know how from the retrospectives it comes as any surprise what my stan country is. I think for 2007, 2018 and 2014, the year retrospectives that we've done, they were my winner every time.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you weren't paying attention by this point, this is your own fault, you know. But so Finland has been taking part every decade since the 1960s, and their first actual performance, their first actual entry was Laila Kinnunen with the song Valoa Ikkunassa. I really don't know if I got that right in Finnish, but I'm hoping that I did. Out of the whole thing, they've only ever managed to win the contest once, and that was in 2006 with Lordi and Hard Rock Hallelujah. So, yeah, and I mean, also just to kind of balance things out, they are probably one of the least fortunate countries because they have come last a total of about 7 times. A lot of the times with 0 points. So, there's a lot of mixture in there.
It's 9.
Is it 9?
According to my counting on the Wikipedia page, it's 9.
Okay, right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh yeah, 9. Okay, yeah. So they've only come last 9 times. They're gonna be coming up to
Norway
soon.
And that's not counting their losses in the semis.
Did they come last in the semi?
Yep.
Yeah. Both Darude and Pertti Kurikan-Nimipäivä.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm open up.
But so they've come last 9 times in the thing. They're almost rivaling Norway now for coming last so many times.
Ooh.
I know Norway, your crown's coming for you. Although I don't really know if you want to have that crown, but. So just to kind of get things going, like, who would be some of your favorite Finnish entries?
Ooh. I've got a couple. First one is Blackbird, and yes, the wounds are still fresh. Yep, I expected that. Yeah, the wounds are still fresh. I'm not forgiving the juries for this. I was like, 11th. 11th, are you having a laugh? It was so close, and I wanted to cry, and
my reaction to the semi-final is actually on the internet somewhere, and I'm just thinking, like, why? Why did you not put this through? It deserved so much.
Why?
Not the robbery, but that's for another... That's for
2015.
Or the Netherlands.
Or the Netherlands, one or the other.
Yes, but yeah, it's a masterpiece, and it deserves it. And I gave Norma John a hug when I went to Helsinki in 2018 and told them they were robbed. And
I'm sure many of us wanted to give them that hug.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the second one would be Sara. Of course, who, like, 5 times she deserved, regardless of the result, I was so happy for her. Even if she just made it to the final, because...
I mean, that's a victory in itself for Finland.
Yeah.
Last decade.
It was like, the second half, we were just like, are you going to qualify? You can not quite qualify. But, yeah, thank God they qualified with Sara, because she deserves it, and it was her dream to be in the Eurovision, and for her to be able to perform it live in the grand final, I was happy for her. I knew she wasn't gonna be a favorite or something, but, you know, she won my heart, and, you know, Monsters is a good track, and I hope that, you know, we see her back in the future at some point, and I hope she's able to do one better with her result, obviously.
Yeah.
Instead of coming second last, she'll come third last, and that would be fine.
You know, anything to do with, like, being second, and I've actually got a funny story about this, and I shouldn't really say this, but yes,
you're already down the rabbit hole at this point.
Yes, it was the day after the grand final, and I was at Heathrow Airport. It turns out Sara was on my flight from Lisbon, and I gave her a hug. We were in baggage claim. And I kind of made a joke saying that you kind of continued on the streak that you becoming second. Because she came second to last.
Yeah.
And she laughed it off. And she, you know, whatever life throws at her, she's always managed to crawl back up stronger, and that's what I really love about her. So yay for Sara and yay for Finland.
Yeah,
we can only stand.
We stand.
Exactly.
I feel like I've got some slightly odd choices for this one.
Okay,
please do go ahead.
So songs that I think both of the ones that Tim said are great. I also kind of like their sort of soft boy songs from the last few years, so Da Da Dum and Look Away and Looking Back. Okay. I think all of them are really lovely. I don't know what I like about Look Away, I just, something about it just hits right to me.
It's the half leather jeans, that's what.
To go, I think it's more the girl on the box.
Like, to me, the only thing Look Away was robbed of in 2019 was not a qualification. It was robbed of the Barbara Dex Award.
Like, it's what he deserves.
But Sebastian Raymond deserved it. It was his.
Yeah.
And he didn't win it.
That's all right.
Oh, also, come on. Really? Are you really going to be judging the jeans?
Yeah, 100%.
2019 was just the boots.
To be fair, he took it up his stride. He even made a joke about it on Instagram. So he got the message, but yeah. I really like that girl in the box, though, because the song had a great meaning. So shame it didn't qualify, but still.
I would prefer it super. The staging was actually pretty good.
You know,
I don't think he deserved last in the semi-final.
Definitely. Like,
you know what I think affected it? I think it's more of the fact that the stage wasn't able to carry the actual prop that they use in Turku. So, because if you look back on the national final performance, it was a box. It was a rotating box.
Yeah.
And then she was on top and Darud was doing the DJ bits underneath. And when you got to Tel Aviv, she was just in the center of the stage. Darud's on one side, and then there's Sebastian singing on another. So what my frustration was, I think it kind of got lost in translation from Turku to Tel Aviv.
Probably.
And I was there, and I really liked the...
Shame as well, because Darud is such a meme, you know?
I know.
Anyway, sorry, go on, Rosie.
I feel like the other one that I sort of want to go back to, and this is very much a me sort of song, and it's a really, it's so obscure and so hip, but it's their entry from 1975, which is Old Man Fiddle, which is a folk entry, so that explains exactly why I like it.
Course.
I like folk entries. Give me folk entries. I'm very happy with it. And it's a great folk song, so I love that sort of thing. I have to mention it.
Definitely, yeah. We like it.
For me, there was quite a lot that I could mention, but I think I'll mention I mentioned one from this decade, which would be Something Better by Soft Engine. It's definitely it's like one of my favourites of all time because it just has a lot of sentimental value to me. And obviously, I feel like I've got into it in the 2014 retrospective and in the introduction. So I don't feel like I need to go into it again. But if you want to take a listen back to like some of our older podcasts, then
you can hear
why. Again, I will just want to echo what Tim said about Sara, Alto Monsters. Again, another one of my first places in its years. Just an amazing song, and I really like her journey, and I love how like she fought so hard to get to Eurovision. And even though she didn't do as well as she maybe would have liked in the final, she still got to the final, and it just shows perseverance. And I would really like to see her back again and maybe get an even better result in the final. And then going back, 1994, Cat Cat, Bye Bye Baby. I just really enjoy that entry. I think it's such a fun entry and definitely something like I hear a lot on the ESC radio and just something that I really enjoy and get into. And 1977, Monica Espeland with Laponia.
Oh, good choice.
Love that. I just love that sound. Again, probably another one that I've discovered through ESC radio. But again, shout out to them because a lot of these older entries, it's a lot of the way that I discovered like a lot of the older entries. And again, this is one of those. And I don't think I could do this without mentioning their winner in 2006, Hard Rock Hallelujah, which actually is not my first place in its year, but it's still a song that I really enjoy and is definitely one of my favourite winners.
And an absolute cultural reset.
Oh, 100%.
It's quite funny what my first place in 2006 is because it's actually Greece.
Wow, okay.
Who won the host countries in that year?
Yeah. I have to say, when you said Bye Bye Baby, the first thing that came into my head was Bye Bye Baby, Die For Me Baby.
Oh no, but you know how I found out about Bye Bye Baby? When I went to UMK in 2018 and Krista performed with Cat Cat. And I was just like, I'm obsessed with this track. I didn't even know it was a Eurovision track until I was there. And I was so surprised, like, oh my god, I couldn't believe it.
And then I just saw it was tanked in 1994. Came in 22nd. Ridiculous. What were they thinking?
Boo. Oh,
boo.
Boo.
But yeah, so for me, again, 1977, Laponia is just a complete bop. And I love the vocal gymnastics in there. I mean, if you can get through the scream in Laponia, then I think you can get through practically anything. And then as well as that, I really love, now this might come as a bit of a random one, but I really, really like 1992, which is Paavo Mäkinen with the yumma 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 yumma. It's a tune, honestly. You need to watch it, and I think it's only funny for the meme effect, just because of the yamma yamma stuff. But it's a good song, I think. And then obviously, like, as we go into the new sort of modern era, there's a lot of good songs that I really, really like. For example, again, Norma John still hurts to this day. I talked a lot about it in the favorite non-qualifier episode, so if you want to have a listen to my feelings about that, head on over to that podcast there. And then yeah, I really do like Hanna Pakarinen as well, 2007, Leave Me Alone. I think that was in itself such a good song. I also really like Tuulikki Ella from Kunkuiskaajat in 2010. I think that was so underrated, and again, it's a folk entry. You know, you can't deny that it was a fantastic song. And then there's two other songs here that I do really love. One of them is Pernilla Karlsson, which is Nerja Blunder, which is Swedish, obviously. But in 2012, when you had, you know, a semi-final with such open, like, so many different countries could have qualified from that semi-final, and Finland wasn't one of them. When I tell you that I was absolutely livid with Europe, I was disgusted, but it's all right. But then I have to give a big shout out to the one and only Krist Siegfried's Marry Me, Malmö 2013. June. I saw her perform live in the arena in the jury final, and she was so on point with her, like, music and, like, with her, not with her music, with her singing. And I was so sad to see that, you know, she tanked in the final. She came, what, second last? This is disgusting. It's disgusting, but it's okay because Krista's made up for it several times. And now she's essentially sort of Miss Eurovision in Finland now. And I think, you know, honestly, I couldn't think of anyone better for the role, you know.
But you know, whenever you ask fans about Krista, they've got nothing but positive reception for her. And it just melts my heart that, you know, when the fans love her, she gives the love back times 100. And that's what I really love about her. And I love that whenever I see her, she'll always remember she'll remember the fans. And that's what we like about her, and that she always thinks of them, and she always shares the love and the sadness with us.
Exactly. And
that's why she needs to come back and get a better result.
Well, she's got a bubba on the way. So,
yeah.
You know.
Baby Amsterdam.
Baby Amsterdam, or, you know, baby me. I don't know where I was going with that. But, oh, no. I love Krista Siegfried. She was actually in Manchester a year ago, because she was here for when the Spice Girls reunion was going on. And I didn't know until the day she was there and she posted something that she was, like, in the city centre of Manchester. And I don't want to sound like I was stalking her, but I did deliberately go into town to try and find her. And then that didn't happen. And I put up on my Instagram saying, oh, I'm only like 5 minutes away from Krista Siegfried's. And she saw it and she was like, haha, I love you. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. But no, I do love Krista Siegfried. Krista Siegfried's, if you're listening to this, we love you. You know, mina raka stansinoa. But yeah, so we have... in Finland, the national selection, which is Uuden Musiikin Kilpailu, or otherwise known as UMK. And obviously, like, since 2012, it's kind of gone through a bit of a transformation because, you know, in 2012, 2013, it was almost like a really, like, long, drawn-out process, almost along the lines of sort of Lithuania. But then since then, it's sort of developed and sort of changed into sort of a one-night, two-night spectacle for that has about 10 songs. And, you know, it's kind of seen as one of the most popular national finals of the season, do you think?
It's a hit and miss sometimes. But I think when they started to thin down the semi-final, when it started to thin down to just have one final and getting rid of the semi-finals, I think that's when UMK started to shine a bit more from 2017 onwards, because come to think of it, 2016 they were like a lot still not working. 2017, it's kind of like it's more memorable with the fans as to like what entries got sent to Eurovision. So it was a hit and miss in the beginning, but then again, UMK has been ongoing for how long now? What, nearly
10 years?
And yeah, nearly 10 years, exactly. So obviously you're going to have some changes, and they do adapt, and they do adapt quite well. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
They've kept adapting it. They take out bits that aren't, like, once something starts to not work, they change it up a little bit. However, in 2021, I'm really annoyed with them because obviously they've in the past they've had national finals where they have had just an art selection. Well, no, they've had an art and just had a song selection with Sara and Darude, and I do not understand how they couldn't do that for Axel.
I can explain that one, I think.
Oh, have we got some juicy gossip here?
No, it's not more juicy gossip. I think it's the facts. This year's UMK has been more popular than ever. Ever since Sara and between Sara and Darude's UMK, the ratings dipped a bit. And then when 2020 hit, we had all these fresh up and coming artists. You had Axel, you had Tika who won X Factor, you had Erica, obviously. And with that case, obviously, the interest with UMK 2020 was very high. They ended up attracting, I think, nearly 1 million viewers, which is really high.
Wow.
So if you look at it, would you really want to sacrifice the ratings in order to let their artist that won 2020 get his deserved spot? I mean, I don't fully agree with it, but the numbers speak for themselves. So it's kind of like they didn't have a choice. But Axel has mentioned he will audition, but he's not guaranteed a spot, which is kind of heartbreaking. You know, if you're going to at least do UMK, at least give Axel a spot. But, yeah. You know, whatever the submissions are, I hope it's good enough that he actually gets through. That's all I'm saying.
Definitely, yeah.
Looking back really over the past sort of weeks and months, and I feel like there's something a bit more to it with it being released in this current climate and this time that we're living in and that sort of thing. And I'm listening to it more and more at the moment, and I've just completely fallen in love with it. I think it's really beautiful. And
I do think had 2020 gone ahead with the climate we were in, it would have qualified.
I hope it would. But like, on the other hand, it means I get to hear more music from Axel, so I'm not going to complain. Yes, I would really have liked him to have the sort of spot that he'd won and earned, but at the same time, can't complain too much if we get new stuff from him.
Yeah, and I mean, also at the same time, imagine if we had, you know, Axel come back, but then we also had the same sort of people who were saying, oh, it really should have been Erica, or it should have been Femme, or it should have been this or that. You know, like, it was going to be a tough choice, obviously, because, like, Axel deserved his chance to go to Eurovision this year. And I'm glad that he has said that he's going to submit something else. Whether or not he gets in, that's a different story. But I think if he was to submit something, I feel like they would be doing him a big disservice just to not give it to him, because
definitely,
like, it could almost sort of provide like an arc, you know, like a good end to the arc story, you know. But yeah, I do really like UMK as like a format, though. I think it's really sort of grown into something like different, and I like the way that like Ulla, the Finnish national broadcaster, I like how Ulla don't like necessarily keep it the same format all the time, because if they realize what something's wrong, they change it. And so, you know, to in the hope of getting something better, hint, hint, no, okay. Hey. I was waiting for that, but no, I do really like it. I think for me though, its peak was definitely in 2017, because a lot of the songs that were in UMK 2017 could easily have qualified had it not been for such a strong year of other songs.
I think it does have to be noted that Finland don't have a happy history with the jury in particular in Eurovision. Like, when it was jury only, they obviously came last 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of their non-qualification, a lot of them are down to the juries.
Don't worry, we know all too well about Blackbirds, that
one of them being Blackbird. I don't there's times where I understand it, but there's definitely times where I don't, and it's like Blackbird is one of those. It's just like, how did the jury not like that?
Yeah.
Because it really felt in 2017 they'd done everything. they possibly could to try to appeal to the juries, and it still didn't matter.
And there are definitely some songs in that semi that I would be fine losing to Blackbird.
Exactly.
For example, the 10th place.
The 10th place. 9th place can stay.
Well, the 10th place if they can hit the correct note.
Yeah! Rain falls from above.
And also in 3rd place, because I have a personal vendetta against any song that uses the word freaking when they should mean something else.
And for more about that, you can listen to our Sweden episode here.
He came 3rd in that semi-final. That's disgusting.
I can't go on.
We can't go on listening to that fucking stupid song. Not when Mariette was right there, but I mean, time and a place.
Oh, darn, I'm still bitter about that. Also, that was her best song. That was her best song.
Was also a thing.
Yep.
This is not a Robin Bengtsson stan podcast.
Yeah, no, this is a Robin Bengtsson hate podcast.
I quite like Take a Chance. I just don't. I just personally hate the use of the word freaking in songs when you're trying to talk about fucking. All right. It's just such a huge pet peeve of mine, and it's not just an ESC thing, it's a thing with every single bit of music that gets released. I hate it.
it just comes off, the song just comes off sleazy, like the way he does the little finger thing, like no, it's all just horrible.
And then when he does the foot thing and then like just turns to the camera and just like nods, it's just like, you know what you're doing. I was like, okay. But anyway, back to Finland. So carry on your point about the juries hating Finland Jazzy.
I feel like with Blackbird, I kind of said it all that really needed to be said. Like, even Blackbird could not qualify with them.
And that's quite possibly like one of the most jury friendly songs that you could ever imagine being in Eurovision as well.
Like, because with Tokiello, with Animal Pitter, even with Monsters, where they tried to stop them qualifying, I get it. I get them not being qualifiers, but Blackbird, it's just like, I do not get this. I do not understand. I thought it would win the jury in the final.
Should have done.
And they didn't qualify because of the juries. And I don't... No, don't get it.
I wonder why Finland like does so poorly with the juries. Is there almost like some kind of stigma attached?
There's another country that has that stigma, and I guess that's Italy. But I don't think it's as severe because Italy don't have to go through the semi-finals, so people don't notice it as much. But it's definitely been something that's been brought up with Italy in the past as well.
Definitely.
So Finland are not alone with that stigma.
Juries, what are you playing at, honestly? You know, Finland's delivering you quality and then you're just letting it fall by the wayside, like,
And Italy definitely deliver quality and should have had a first win by now.
Well, the first win in the modern era,
In the modern era, in the modern era.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have won, like, 5 times in the last decade, changed my mind.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
For more on that, listen to our Italy episode.
Yeah.
It's just that we didn't bring up the jury issue with Italy in the Italy episode, so I felt like it needed to be brought up here.
Yeah, definitely. But, so kind of looking again at Finland's sort of track record, we see that there's a lot of a mix between sort of Finnish, English and Swedish. So... seeing that, do you think that, like, maybe they should sort of carry on? But the thing is, recently, we actually haven't actually seen much of Finnish or Swedish actually in the contests, mostly because of a lack or an unwillingness to use it on Sweden's part, in the case of Swedish, or just the fact that a better song that was in English has managed to triumph over a Finnish song. So you know, would you like to see sort of Finnish and Swedish sort of make a return to Eurovision, even if it is by way of Finland?
I wouldn't mind it, but if it works well on the track, then feel free. Because, I mean, you know, you had Erica Vickman. She was really popular with the fans. And not just the fans, but like viewers of UMK. So it worked well for her, then why should it be a problem now?
The thing I have with Gigi Alina as a song is that actually the lyrics in English are really nice. And I have the same sort of thing I have with it as I have with Davidna, where the translated lyrics, the lyrics being in another language for me, sort of loses something from the song rather than add mm-hmm. something to it. And the thing I think with particularly Davidna is that actually the song almost loses its meaning by mm-hmm. it not necessarily being universally understandable, and I feel like I'd like both of the songs a lot more, and I do like both the songs. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I hate them, but I would like them even more if I understood what they meant without having to look up a Google Translate of the lyrics.
It's yeah. quite a whistle, because with Chialina, mm-hmm. I don't think it should necessarily be in English, because I do think it works in Finnish, but I look at her look and I listen to the sound of the song, and for some reason it sounds like it should be in Italian, and I don't know why.
Well, it's cause...
just like her. I don't know if it's to do with her or it's to do with like this, like that sound has very like 80s 90s Italian sound, like in the backing track, but I just get Italian vibes from it, and I don't know why.
Well,
I don't know if it's also the song name Chialina.
Well, yeah, Chichi Alina was an Italian sort of porn star who, I think she almost tried to run for a president, I think, in Italy.
She got into politics afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, so it makes sense, though, that there's like an Italian vibe to it. But I to be honest, if I actually think I would lose a lot of admiration for the song if it was in English. I think that's what makes Chichi Alina so like interesting, because it's talking about something so almost sort of like sexually liberating, but in like a completely alien language that you would never expect it to be in, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Like a song like this, I wouldn't expect it to be English. I'd expect it to be in like Italian or Spanish or like that.
Are we planting a seed that Erica Vickman needs to start, you know, releasing different languages, language covers of Chichi Alina?
Yes, but also, yes, but also please release that duet of you and Cyrus.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was a good one. That was a very good one. Oh, but yeah, I have to take a moment as well and just sort of like appreciate sort of Finland's approach just to the contest. Like, they've come last 9 times in all of their attempts at participating, but they've never withdrawn out of like a lack of respect or a lack of, like, they've been forcibly removed every single time they've not been able to participate, mostly because of the
relegation
rules in the 1990s and the early 2000s, or whenever they've failed to make it to the final, obviously, from 2004 onwards. But I have to say, like, their determination in the contest is so good. And I think it has to be mentioned as well, their dedication to the fans, I think, makes Finland such an interesting country, because, you know, you have countries like Sweden, who are obviously sort of universally loved by the fandom and stuff. But mm-hmm. a lot of it seems to be, like, they don't necessarily care that much about the fans. Whereas, like, with Finland, it's a lot more, like, they take it a lot more personally. Like, if you, like, appreciate the contest and, like, if you like Finland songs, etc. And I think that's something that is really, really nice, you know?
There's also mm-hmm. the Eurovision Diaries, where I feel like, in a way, the Finnish broadcaster left a home for like the UK fans, where the BBC don't really care about them.
Yeah.
The BBC don't yep. care about the UK fans.
Yep. Hi. Like,
in times, the Finnish broadcaster has taken us in.
Yep, I can definitely vouch for that, because I am in that documentary.
Ooh.
And also, may I just add on to the point about the fans? I've attended UEM Core twice as press. And whenever I attended, they were really friendly with me. And they've always granted me access to cover it. And they were all lovely. And I just wish I can go back to Finland soon and watch it again, because it was so awesome. It was just a shame I couldn't do it this year.
Aww. I do.
It's okay. If the BBC don't want to look after us, we have a broadcast will.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, we make the most of what we have, you know. And I think it's really interesting because obviously, like, when you think of, like, Finland and you think of Finnish people, you think of them to be quite kind of cold and not necessarily sort of warm and friendly and stuff. And it kind of harks back to a video that I remember when Norma John were sort of like touring and promoting before Eurovision, and they did a video with Eurovision.tv where they did like a Q&A kind of thing, and they did and they did this thing where it's like, do Finnish people, like, are Finnish people sad all the time? And the way they're like so deadpan in the midst of everything, but they're actually some of the most lovely, warm people you'll ever meet. I just think Finland is just a lovely country, and the people are so friendly. And you know what, I'm totally okay to go back to Helsinki again, or Turku, or wherever they want to host it. I'm totally good with it. But, yeah, so sort of, like, looking sort of to the future, like, what do you think Finland needs to do to kind of improve its chances of actually, like, getting out of the bottom five?
I think it's just taking your time with it, really, at the minute, because they're at a point where they're starting to go back to the final, sort of, and I think it's more of trying to find where your strong point and the suitable selection method that can be incorporated with UMK, because it's kind of a hit and miss. You know, they tried internally selecting the artist and giving UMK the song, and they tried to go back to the way it was, where it was just one show. But then again, they're still trying to find their feet, and it's a hit and miss. So it's kind of like, you need to find a way. And I'm glad that they're adapting to situations where they're thinking something's not working here, and they're being proactive about it. So I think just keep working that way, and hopefully you'll find your perfect method that will get you out of the bottom five.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think the thing with Finland's approach that I do really appreciate is that they aren't afraid to take a risk. And they are very sort of comfortable sending some more unconventional genres. We've had rock from them, and like proper rock as well. Not sort of soft, generically palatable rock, but things that are really quite out there. So we've had Lordi, we've had Soft Engine, we've had PKN.
Missa Mihe Traza Star as well, you know, 2008.
Yes.
That was a good tune.
And yeah, I really appreciate the fact that they are willing to sort of try different stuff. And I would very much like them to continue on that path, because when they hit really well. And it's a huge shame that they don't necessarily always get the results that they deserve based on what they send, because I think most of the time they do deserve better. So maybe they just need to, I don't know, change their name to Swellandia. Maybe the juries will start to like it.
If you stick an SW in, then you should be fine.
Yeah.
Switzerland and Sweden, take note.
I really like that they, when they realise something's not working, they change it up. Like, there's a sign of perseverance there, which is really, really admirable. Like, they're hard workers, and I just wish they got the result that they deserve for the work that they put in, because they do put in a lot of work, and they just deserve better. Something better.
Something better. They will get something better. We'll make sure of it. And if they're not, then you know what? We'll just sing it away. I'll munch your balls away.
No, I mean, I don't feel bad for that.
Well, I see, that was a good year. I mean, as UMK was, but not necessarily the winning song. Sorry, Sandhya. But yeah, so I really do like how UMK is just able to change in order to match Finland's results at the contest. And that, like, you know, when things start going a bit awry, then they can just sort of see, okay, maybe we need to change this. And then it changes. And I think it definitely shows because, like, you know, UMK and Eurovision are very heavily, like, very big watch shows, you know. And I think it's only fair that, you know, they should be able to change the format so that, you know, it improves their results. And it's a shame because Finland is usually quite a heavily underrated country. So I really do hope that, you know, in the future, people can start to see the potential that Finland actually has and just stop sleeping on them because it's not deserved at all.
And exactly.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm totally down for going to Helsinki again, so long as it is Jana Pelkonen and Mikko Leppilampi again. Also, Mikko Leppilampi, step on me. For more of that, please do listen to our 2007 episode.
Rosie, look what you've done.
Yeah. This is
I'm claiming absolutely no responsibility for this whatsoever.
Sure, Jan. Sure.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, so do we have any sort of, like, final points on Suomi?
I was gonna say, really love you, Finland. You're really underrated. I hope you find the right mix of things for you to win again. And Suomi, I miss you so much.
We do miss Suomi.
I just think it's like, keep doing what they're doing in terms of being so accommodating towards the fans, because there's not many Eurovision countries that are as accommodating towards fans as Finland. I feel like we've mentioned a couple. They really care about the fan base, and I feel that's something that's really, really important when getting fans to be involved. And obviously with the Eurovision Diaries, when Eurovision got cancelled, and I guess it was already in the pipeline.
Yeah.
But it was definitely something that made the cancellation a lot easier to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, it's stuff like that that I just really appreciate. And I feel like that kind of stuff, they need to keep doing what they're doing, because it's why they get as much appreciation from the fandom as they do. Also, I'd really like that they do keep changing things up when things aren't working. And I hope they do keep to doing that as well. Like, they don't let it go stale.
Yeah.
Like,
just to keep it kind of, like, interesting and, like, ooh, what's going to happen now?
So, like, in the last few years, they've been a country. It's like, oh, what are they going to do for their national selection next?
Yeah, definitely.
Ooh.
I feel like I've kind of already said it. Just keep taking risks. Keep sending stuff that is diverse and interesting and expresses all sorts of different aspects of the Finnish music scene, because there's so much great stuff out there. And yeah, if you want to do better with the juries, maybe change your name.
So from now on, we'll just call them Swillandia. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, that's fantastic. That takes us to the end of this episode of That Eurovision Podcast. I'd love to say kiitos paljon to Rosie, Jazzy and Tim for coming along and talking about this fantastic country that we have now renamed. for future purposes, this is what we will only be calling it now, Swillandia. Don't bother calling it Finland anymore. Please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We're all going to be on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at That Euro Podcast. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So, you know, follow us there so you always get notified for whenever a new episode comes out. And in the next couple of episodes, you know, we'll be having a few more sort of country episodes. We may also have a couple of other year retrospectives prepared for you, and we might have a couple of surprises, you know, so just, you know, keep your eyes out, that's for sure. So shall we all say moi moi
moi moi
moi moi
moi moi.